Today's date is October 6th, 2021. This is Jean McMillan. I am going to be interviewing Karen Gerstel, who is going to talk about Under Mountain Weavers that her parents started. Then she's going to talk about being the Democratic town registrar. And then we're going to talk about her business of Under Mountain Weavers, which has come full circle. This is File 38, Cycle 4. And here we go.
Hi, Jean.
Hi there. How are you, Karen? What is your full name?
It's actually Karen Joan Gerstel.
Jones?
Joan, yes.
Joan.
But I use the J, but I never use the Joan.
And your birth date?
It's April 24th, 1955. I made it to Medicare.
Birthplace?
I was born in New York City, but never lived there until much later.
And your parents' names?
Lottie or Lisa Lotte Gerstel and Eric Gerstel.
Is Eric with a C or a K?
C.
Got it right. All right.
He actually was originally Hunts Eric, and mm-hmm. He became Eric Hunts.
Now, if I remember correctly, your father wound up in Scotland as a young boy, and he learned textile design and weaving.
He did.
And then he came to the United States.
He did.
Where he met your mother.
Yes.
And she had come from Dresden, Germany?
Yes.
Ah, all right.
Very good.
I tried to do my homework. What did he do in New York City?
He was in textile design.
And
so he first came to Connecticut, mm-hmm. set up his two looms he brought from Scotland, where he had gone to trade textile college. And then he set up the looms on the chicken farm he first lived on, that was his father and uncle's.
And where was that?
In Tariffville, near Simsbury, Connecticut. They delivered eggs to Hartford. And then he got into textile design in New York City and traveled to work with mills in Japan and Germany and England and eventually Thailand.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And India. And they sold to places like Brooks Brothers and others. I remember walking down the street with him one time, and we stopped at a store window, and he said, "Hey, that's one of mine."
Ah! Oh, that's impressive. Isn't that impressive? And when did he actually come to Salisbury?
I think they actually finally closed on the house in end of 69.
Okay.
Maybe early 70, January 70.
69 is good enough. And it's the house that you're still in?
No, it's across the street. I've come a long way.
Oh, you moved across the street.
I did. It's family property, but the house was across the street.
Okay. So it would be on the right side going...
Going north, it was the Joyceville tack shop on the left side of the street heading north, and we're now on the right side just beyond Hammertown Road.
Okay. So he had the house. Did he set up his business shortly after getting the house?
He did. It was actually a six-car garage that they bought from Connie Lovejoy and converted that into the weaving studio.
That's where I remember.
Yeah.
That's where I remember.
Yeah.
And how many looms did he bring here?
Four. That they had been in storage for 30 years, and they decided to first just get a barn in the area mm-hmm. on the way to skiing, and then then the barn became a barn with the studio, and then it became a barn and a house, and then we moved up here.
Oh, Lactopsy, it just grew.
It grew.
What kind of looms did he bring?
They were fly shuttle looms that had been initially... parts built in 1730s.
1730?
Yeah. So some of the looms are a couple hundred plus years old. Math is is not my forte.
Well, that's important.
But I do need some arithmetic for weaving.
Yeah, oh yes you do. Oh yes you do. What were the items that they created?
They mostly wove tweeds for... They would sell the material, mm-hmm. and then they got into also selling scarves and shawls and skirts as woven, and some were sewn by Gudrun Dunst.
Oh, yes.
And Barbara Riva at that point. And they also sold the material to be made into sports jackets by the, I think it's called British American Textile Company.
British American Textiles?
Yeah, I think that was the name of the place that would make them into sports jackets.
And did they teach people to weave?
Yeah, they did.
Formal classes? Or?
They did week-long class, yeah, pretty much, with a bag lunch.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we do the same.
Why not?
Once a year or so.
Now, I'm going to ask specifically, your dad did what in the business, and your mother did what in the business? Okay. And I think your mother probably had the harder job, but...
For me, it would have been, yes.
What'd your dad do?
So he wove. He designed and wove the tweeds. Mm-hmm. And they'd worked with wool and lamb's wool and cashmere.
Yeah.
And Mom, when it would come off the loom, Mom would make it into... she would weave or sew any... miswoven threads or broken threads to correct it, because it could be very visible on something you were wearing.
Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't match, it doesn't match.
That's right.
That's hard.
It
that is really
tedious.
Hard.
Tedious. Yeah. She
it's
would go
hard. It's fiddly. Drive me up a wall.
Yeah. She would go through maybe 15 yards of navy twill and correct any thing. Yeah.
Her eyes. Oh, my.
Yes.
Oh, when did they sell the business-ish? You had said mid-80s.
Yes.
That works. That works. Did they retire?
They did. The next retirement phase is what Dad called it. Yes.
Oh, my. Is there anything that you'd like to add about your father's business before we move on to other things?
No, I think they liked... No, I think they enjoyed doing it. They mm-hmm. enjoyed the time. They enjoyed the people they would connect with. Yeah.
I met your father, I know. And that's the impression that I got, that it was something that he really loved.
He did.
And that comes out, if you know, even as a casual... I did buy some of the tweed, and it's gorgeous. But even as a casual person... I got the definite impression that this was something he really enjoyed doing.
He did, yes. Yeah. Back to the basics.
Yes.
Without all the travel and all that, mm-hmm. yes. Yeah.
And that's really what he wanted to do, was design and weave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, your mother did all sorts of things with community service.
She did. They both did, actually.
Well, I'm going to start with your mother first.
Okay.
And then we'll go on to your dad.
Okay.
All right. Tell me about her work with the daycare.
Yeah, she loved working with the kids. So it was under the era of Joan Palmer.
And that would be where?
The Housatonic Daycare. At that point, it was in the church.
The Methodist Church.
The Methodist Church, mm-hmm. I think. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And so she worked
before that, she had worked in Westchester with Head Start. Mm-hmm. That got her started. When we were off in school. And then it was good she had daycare, because she doesn't have grandchildren.
Yeah.
She has plenty of kids in her life.
Plenty of kids, that's enough. Particularly when you can send them home.
Yes.
And she did something with Owl's Kitchen.
She did. She coordinated volunteers for a little while. She did. She worked.
She actually worked the poles.
She did that too, yeah. Yep, she worked at Owl's Kitchen and coordinated volunteers before the internet.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And
actually, the Owl's Kitchen phone line was our house.
Oh, my word.
Quite a while.
Well, the ambulance service used to be at the White Hart Inn.
That's right.
So, you know, yeah. things have changed, but basically they've stayed
that's
the same.
Not far, yeah.
And then she worked at the polls.
She worked the polls. She always worked the polls since before we could vote, I remember. Yeah. She had not been able to vote, wouldn't have been able to vote where she came from. So it was very important to them that...
Did they both become American citizens?
Yes. They both were naturalized, and they both... voting was very important.
It would be. It would be. We were in England when they were having elections, and we couldn't vote because we were resident aliens.
Yeah.
And it's a very odd feeling.
Yeah.
And so I can appreciate how much being able to vote would mean.
Yes.
That's very important. Yeah. Now, tell me about your dad. What activities did he perform?
So Dad was on land trust.
Oh, bless his heart.
And I remember we have a plaque, actually, that he got for helping make Route 41 a scenic route.
Oh, good.
And stopping and creating too much traffic in the area. That was the plaque. It was really nicely done by Elaine and Lou Heck. For creating traffic jams in Salisbury. It was a tongue-in-cheek plaque that was important to him. And he also helped with, at one point, the Owl's Kitchen was getting firewood to people, I believe.
Oh, I remember that.
So he was part of that, too.
They were real assets to the community. Well, it's important. It's important because...
It was important to them.
Some of us that have been around a while don't necessarily appreciate, and that's too bad.
Yeah.
That's too bad. But both your parents were just wonderful. I don't remember your mother. I do remember your father.
Yeah, she was gone earlier.
Now, you worked at the Salisbury Pharmacy when it was Whitbeck's.
I did,
And
yes.
What did you do?
I was a local soda jerk, as they say.
And?
With a big mirror.
Oh.
So I could see what was going on behind me while I was...
Oh, that's
getting
fun.
Soda and ice cream, yes.
Did you work with other local girls or boys?
I worked with Susan Gomez Vreeland.
And anybody else?
And, of course, Gordon Whitbeck. Well, Gordon was younger, but Karen Whitbeck. Yeah.
Okay.
For Anna.
And Anna. Yeah. Now, what type of creations did you... produce as a sour center.
Everything from egg creams with no egg to what were they called? Black cows? I can't even remember. The
black and white sodas?
Black and white sodas, yeah. Ice cream sodas. And hot fudge ice cream. And Anna let me have a little hot fudge at the end of every day that I was there.
That's
it did
wonderful.
Not cure me of having ice cream every day.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yes.
What is an egg cream?
It's a syrup and soda and then milk. You have to keep stirring it while you're adding it so it doesn't bubble over.
Oh, my. Did you do ice cream sodas and
yes.
Yeah. Did you do fraps and cabinets?
Depends on where you come from.
Yes. Oh, that's clever of you. You knew that. Oh, my. Okay. Now, later in life, you got involved with the Salisbury Artisan Group.
That came out of the Creative Hands.
Okay.
The Creative Hands was started by Linda McLaren and Heidi Lindy.
I can't write that fast. Heidi?
Lindy, L-I-N-D-Y. Chrissy Talalian, who has Joie Maison, the store at the end there.
You'll have to spell some of that.
the store at the end of the line there that was the Perfect Pair or something. Anyway, it's
You mean the building that was the freight warehouse?
No, the just beyond Janet Andre's house. It's called JOIE, I believe.
Okay, it's East Main Street then.
Okay. I never know where the cutoff is, yes. So that sounds about right. Across from Chiwala. Yeah, that's the daughter. That's Heidi Lindy's daughter. Heidi is an artist.
And what is Heidi Lindy's daughter's name?
Chrissy Talalian.
Can I just go with Chrissy?
Yeah, I would.
Talalian.
T-E-L-L, yeah. Yeah. They all live in Lavender Lovell's house.
When did Creative Hands start, you know?
It started with Mary Arnold and Linda McLaren and Heidi Lindy, too, as a venue for, so I would say in the 90s?
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
As a venue for artisans in the area, crafts.
All kinds of crafts.
Yes. Yep. And they created as a not-for-profit and really did
well
do that, yes.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it grew to be about 150 artisans or more from the tri-state area.
When did you join or...?
When I moved to the area, they let me work there for... a few days a week, and so
that'll be 2006.
That was 2000, and actually, I was in Falls Village then, so 2001, I believe.
Okay. And
somewhere in there.
Where is the Salisbury Artisan Group located now?
Everywhere.
Everywhere, all over.
It's a fluctuating group of. We have about 100 people on our email list. And yeah, when Creative Hands was no longer, we sort of had a little group. We called ourselves Renegade Artisans briefly, and then became the Salisbury Artisans Group, just because of that's where we were kind of starting. We started at the White Hart Inn the first year or two. We did holiday shows, and now we do. Well, COVID kind of interrupted things.
Oh, yeah. It messed up a lot of things.
We've done it at the firehouse and then the town fall festival. We started on the town green, and that's at least 15 years, I think.
And you're going to be at the town green this weekend.
Yep. But we'll be in front of the White Hart, on the White Hart lawn and Chiwala's front lawn. Mary has been, she let us do it first, and we spread out.
And what kind of artisans other than fiber artisans?
We have pottery, we have paintings, we have basket makers, that's fiber, but we have, I've just been going through the list too last night.
But that's okay.
Yeah, we have the Hardys, and we have people you would know.
Oh, yes. I'm fortunate. I have two Hardy pictures.
Oh, nice.
Because I had two of their children in my class.
Oh, great.
I got a lithograph, and I've got a painting.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. No, it's a good... So there'll be about 22 of us this time.
Oh, good.
Car and noise. Yeah.
Now you moved, and I'm skipping a little bit, you moved back to Falls Village in 2001.
Yes, from the West Coast.
From the West Coast.
Oregon.
Oh my, that's a long trek. And how did you become registrar in Falls Village?
Mary Lou Sinclair.
Okay.
Was ready to retire. But I wasn't ready to quite taken on yet, so I was her deputy. Mary Palmer told me it was a good way to get to know people in town again.
She's right. Mm-hmm. Mary Palmer was my husband's youngest daughter's best friend.
Oh, is that right?
So there's a connection there.
Yeah.
And I've asked Mary Palmer many times about things that I didn't know pertaining to Falls Village.
Yeah.
So did you work as the registrar over there in Falls Village for a while?
I did. So from about 2005 or six probably, until we moved to Salisbury. And we moved here in 2013 back to Salisbury to family property. And then I filled in first as moderator between both towns, and then filled in occasionally in the office for Margie Vale. And then I think in 2016, Margie said, the job is yours.
Woo! Are you elected or appointed?
Elected. I started appointed and became elected.
So you're
appointed. It's an elected position.
So you're appointed first and then you're elected? And what party?
Democrat.
And what's your term of office?
4 years now. It was two, it's now four.
Well, they upped it on you.
Yeah, thank you, Margie.
I'm sure she had a lot to do with that. Who is your deputy now?
Kathy Mira. Sorry. It is now Chani Wells. And Kathy is assistant.
Chani Wells is... And then Kathy is assistant deputy?
Yes. Or something. Assistant registrar, I think it's called.
Okay.
Two more interesting stories for you.
Good.
Yes, to interview. You already did Kathy Mir.
Yes.
Yeah. Chani Wells is an interesting story.
And I've also done Chani.
You have, okay.
Yeah. But thank you.
Yeah.
I need all the help I can get. Training. You have to have training, don't you?
You do, yes. So you have to go through annual training. I think it's 8 hours annually of classes. And then moderator training is additionally two every 2 years now. I believe that they finally made it every 4 years, which makes sense.
That's a help.
Yeah. So the trainings are legislative changes and updates and computer, all that stuff.
Oh, all that good stuff.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What do you actually do?
Well, we register voters,
okay.
As we're told. We provide lists to people who, especially as elections come close, both parties want various lists for mailings.
Lists of party members?
Of registered voters, of which parties to turn out the vote for... And lists for doing mailings.
Let me ask you. I changed parties 3 years ago to an independent. Not independent party, just independent.
So unaffiliated.
Right. But I still get calls from the party that I was originally associated with.
I'm surprised you don't get it from both.
Well, not yet. But when I came to town, this was a Republican town. And when I went in to register to vote, Lila Nash says, you will be a Republican. Yes, ma'am. She was older and she was more intimidating.
My parents were one of each to get all the the literature always for both.
Ah, okay.
But yes.
Alrighty.
I
find that interesting.
Yeah.
Now, you also do... voter registration or coordinate with the various private schools and public schools?
Yes, we do voter registration sessions, and then we do absentee ballot sessions for those first wanting to
either out of the country or at Noble or something like that.
Exactly. And the schools sometimes too.
Who is your coordinator for the high school?
What we do, which is nice in the region, is the registrars from each of the six towns. Mm-hmm. We have a rotating schedule, and it's always two towns go to the high school and work with the social studies department.
Oh, okay.
And our year was last year, and the year before, if you remember right now. And COVID made the time kind of weird. But yes, so we, so the two towns kind of rotate. There's always one new and one from last year, and then the next year.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So we share that.
And Hotchkiss would be Keith Moon?
Yes.
And Salisbury?
That's kind of evolved a little bit. Also, Curtis did a lot of that. Curtis Rand helped with being a connection.
It was Rita Delgado?
Partly.
Sort of. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, partly. And Lisa Shepley. Yeah.
All righty. Now, you can also register to vote at the DMV.
You can now.
This is something
voter
new.
Voter. Yep.
This is something new, isn't it?
Pretty new. It's, not all that new. There's been across the country advocating for that. Has its advantages and disadvantages. It gives us a lot more time on the computer to see whether they really are a new voter or was it just their birthday? We just had a couple of those today where DMV asks, do you want to register to vote? And they don't know that they already are registered to vote. So then we have to make sure we don't create a duplicate voter.
I see. Oh, you actually check records.
We do. Oh. We spent a lot of time today doing, because we had a couple moved out of towns, and then we had five new voter registrations, but it turned out two of them were actually already registered. And then we have change of addresses also every week. All of those come in every week on the computer, and then some by mail. And then we prepare for elections.
And we have a local election.
We have
this year.
One coming up. We have a municipal election, so we will have two voter registration sessions. Next week we will remind the Lakeville Journal to put one in the paper. That's our job, to let them know that. Mm-hmm. And then we have a couple all-day sessions before a primary or an election.
Okay.
And poll worker training. In 2 weeks.
We had a pandemic.
I heard about that.
Yes! And there were changes in voting because of that.
There were changes. And some of it has gone back, and hopefully people know that, and some has not. So,
what were the changes for voting during the pandemic?
So, one of the changes was around absentee ballots that you, in Connecticut, where you had to you could only have three reasons for an absentee ballot, and you have to apply every year. Last year, the Secretary of State sent out all the absentee ballots for anyone wanting to apply, and COVID was enough of a reason. Fear of COVID, having COVID, anything along those lines made it easier to get an absentee ballot. This year, the Secretary of State is not sending out the absentee ballot applications, but you can still use COVID as a reason for not coming to the polls but voting absentee.
But in order to get an absentee ballot, you have to go to the town clerk.
You have to submit your absentee application to the town clerk or put it in the drop box outside town hall.
And how do you get an application?
You can get one online or you can get one in person from town hall.
And I think you said that with the pandemic, you didn't expect too many people to show up And they did.
Well, not only, because we already had 1,200 absentee ballots, or voting absentee, 1,200 people. So that was almost half the town.
Yeah.
But we still had another 1,300 coming in to vote. And we had less numbers permitted in the building and voting at the same time.
So you had long lines.
We had a line all day.
Yes.
And we heard about it. Not from the voters. The voters were great. It was actually the Lakeville Journal that said, maybe Salisbury needs to rethink its system. But the voters were wonderful. They had 40 to 45 minute wait a lot of the time.
And that's the town.
A lot of them were from the city, and that was nothing for them.
It wouldn't be. It wouldn't be.
Right. And the local people, it was a social time.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. Well, I was going to the grocery store, and I saw the line, and everybody was chatting away, you know, masks on.
6 feet apart. Yeah,
but,
exactly.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. No, everybody was wonderful. We were worried, but everybody was great.
Good.
Yeah.
What do you like about your job as registrar?
The people.
That's the best part, isn't it?
It is.
That's what I like about this.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you'd like to add to the registrar's portion before we move on?
I'd be happy to work with whoever would like to take it on next.
You're looking for a replacement.
Possibly.
So am I, but I don't think I'm going to get one.
No.
Alrighty. Now we are going to talk about your Undermountain weaving business. We've come full circle. You moved back to the family property.
Yeah.
And did you own the business, or did you have to buy the business back?
We had our own little business we called Falls Village Designs. And then, out of the blue, as we were coming back onto family property, the people who had bought the business from my parents asked if we might be interested in getting it back. And they said, we haven't really done much in the last few years, so if you'd like to buy a loom, but otherwise, we'll give you the business, which was lovely.
Ooh!
Yes. And not only that, but they asked if we would like the sign back that had been on our property, and they presented the sign back to Dad.
Oh, how 90. Wonderful.
Yeah.
That was really, really thoughtful.
It meant a lot to him, yeah.
It would.
Yeah.
It would. Oh, yeah. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Now, your husband is also a trained weaver?
He was, by my father.
Ah, okay.
So in his 50s, he learned to weave when Dad was 90. Yeah. I stayed out of the way, and they worked well together.
Yeah, that's the best thing.
It is.
That's the best thing. It really is.
Yeah.
Now, what do you make as far as your business?
So, I also weave. I weave on a smaller loom. Mine's about a 36/8 inch loom, floor loom. So, I weave scarves and shawls and napkins and the like. So does Joe on the bigger loom, but he ends up with more yardage. And
wider.
So either wider. Yeah, his are 70 inches wide, 72.
Who does the blankets and the rugs?
So Joe does the blankets. And actually, I do the rugs on mine because, we don't do a lot of rugs, but we did those. Yeah, we did those whenever Sam Waterston wants us to, depending on what they produce for wool.
How many looms do you operate?
Good question.
I thought so.
Let's see. We have two fly shuttle looms. And right now we have four. One on permanent loan, I think. Floor looms that are 4 or 8 harness. And then we have about 4 or 5 table looms that we either take to shows, but we also teach on. That's what we teach on.
Oh, good. It's a good size.
Yeah. They're 24 inches wide, and so, and then also they're for sale because Dad designed them.
Tape loom? Do you have a tape loom?
A rigid heta loom. We don't have that we have, yeah. We have a rigid heta loom, which I take to shows. It's easy to travel with to show kids about weaving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. And whom do you sell these things to? I think you said the Sam Watterson.
He doesn't charge us for the wool, so he
oh, you
gives
get the
us
wool
the
from
wool.
Him?
Yes. We get some of the wool from him, and he, we get wool from 3 places. We get the wool from Sam Waterston's sheep, mm-hmm. and then whoever sells it, they or us, we split the cost, split the sale and the income. And then we get from Clatter Ridge Farm in Farmington, which is connected to the Hillstead Museum. And we weave for them, and then they sell it. Although tomorrow, this weekend, we may have one piece that they said, see if you sell it this weekend.
And then you sell
and
locally?
Then, I'm sorry?
Do you sell locally?
And then we have things at the Salisbury General Store, I believe it's now called.
Mm-hmm.
And with Sam, we have things at 100 Main. We have a couple blankets.
That's over in Falls Village?
In Falls Village.
I don't shop, therefore.
And then we have things on intermittently. We've had things, and we will again, at it's called Yellow Submarine in Amenia, which is mostly a bookstore with some crafts.
Okay. Do you give tours?
We do. We give tours to smaller and medium size, not big groups, because it's pretty small.
And
we teach one class a year, usually, although COVID we did not.
And how big would your class be?
2 to 4 people.
That's enough.
Yes. It's hard to keep track of what everybody's doing otherwise.
Yeah, and I remember you said that you used to have them doing different patterns.
We did. We used to give a choice, and then we learned.
Yeah. Yeah, you do when you're teaching. You certainly do.
Right.
Is there anything that you'd like to add to your business that we haven't covered?
Not that I can think of right now. Is there anything?
And before we close, is there anything that you'd like to add in general?
It's nice to be back in our community and be a part of it.
Thank you.
Thank you. No, really, thank you.